Beginning of the year, I announced that we would talk about one word different times throughout this year, and that's the word thrive. We're thinking about how we can thrive as followers of Jesus and thrive in this life. Now, you know, when we think about that word, there's lots of ways that that could be defined. Somebody might say that thriving is having the right kind of job or the accumulation of stuff or having the right relationships. And none of those things are necessarily wrong. But when we think about what this means as followers of Jesus, we're really thinking about this, participating in what God is doing in the world. When we're doing that, we're really thriving as people created in the image of God. And so we talked about at the beginning of the year, thriving on a personal level with God. And then another series, we talked about thriving professionally. In other words, in our work, or maybe it's volunteer stuff that you do, but thriving in that way. And now we're beginning a series on thriving emotionally. Now, our emotions are powerful, right? Some of the greatest moments in our lives are those moments because of the joy we feel in that. Seeing a child for the first time, doing the accomplishments that some of us have had this week with graduations, all those kinds of things. And then some of the worst moments in life are defined by the feelings that we have as well. Broken relationships and betrayal and guilt, all those things that can be part of life. And I want us to think how we can make the very best of this in a way that honors God. And so we're going to do that for the next several weeks. And to do that, we're going to turn to the book of 1 Peter, Peter's first epistle. We'll get there in a few minutes. And think about what he has to say about our emotions. Now, I need to say at the very beginning of this, like, you need to know, I am not a trained counselor, okay? I am not a mental health professional. And I want to say, again, at the outset, I mean, sometimes we get in those moments where our emotions are so powerful and we feel so strongly about these things that we just really know we need help. And that's okay. And that's when it's good to reach out to someone, like a doctor is trained in dealing with our physical symptoms. Someone who knows the emotional symptoms can be a huge help as well. So let me encourage you to seek that help out if you need it. It is entirely appropriate. What I am is a pastor who talks from God's Word. And so what I want to do is take some things that we find in God's Word and then apply it to our emotions and allow God to speak into that. So that's my goal in this series. Now, we do face all kinds of emotions, and some of them sort of negative, powerful emotions like grief and pain and maybe anxiety and fear. And most of us have dealt with probably all of those, but at least some of those at different times in our lives. I know, like, I think we can all think back to childhood and think of those fears that now seem like totally irrational, but when we were four, were very real. For little Jamie Jones, I was scared to death of being alone. Like, during the day, I was fine, but the closer that bedtime came, the more I got upset, and I just dreaded going to bed because the lights went off, and you just don't know what's in the corners when the lights go off, right? I'm not scared of the dark anymore, okay? Just to be clear. But I certainly was then, and probably some of you can look back on some of those times when you felt that fear and anxiety at things that now look pretty empty, but in the moment were very real. And for me, it was just being alone because it felt exposed and vulnerable. I think there are times when even in the midst of our faith, we sometimes might have that same fear of being alone, not because it's bedtime and it's dark, but because we look in the universe around us and sometimes it feels like a dark place. Sometimes we look in the universe around us and we see really bad things happening and it feels dangerous. And we just wonder, is there someone out there that we can turn to, or are we really alone? And I want us to look at 1 Peter chapter 1 this week to think about that question, because Peter's writing to a group of early Christians, most of them in what we would now call Western Turkey, who are relatively new Christians, and they're asking the question, okay, we have heard the teaching of Paul or others who have come through and shared the message of Jesus, and they've chosen to follow Jesus, but bad things are still happening. I mean, they were good Gentiles who participated in the culture, and then they followed Jesus, and people said, man, you're weird now. I don't really want to have anything to do with you. And you don't seem to want to have anything to do with me. And I'm better off without you in relationship, in business, and anything else. And you know what? We'd just be better off if you just left. And so they're feeling all this social and emotional pressure, and they're asking the question, okay, if we're following the Savior of the world, the Son of God, why is this happening? Because it seems like it shouldn't be. And part of what Peter is dealing with is, let's answer that really big, important question. And it is a hard question to answer, and yet he tries to face it head on and deal with some of the things that really can help us walk through that. So at the beginning of 1 Peter, what we find is a prayer, and we're going to read through that prayer. And really, it's all one long sentence. We're going to divide it up a little bit. But Peter deals with those issues, and he begins this way. He says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ," which sounds very much like some of Paul's prayers at the beginning of his letters. "In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade." So what's Peter start with? He starts with, when you followed Jesus, there was something new. You've got new life, a new birth. What has been in the past is over, and now there's something new. He's introducing them to a new life. And he says, this new birth, this change, is confirmed because of Jesus. Now, Peter was a witness to the resurrection. And so he's saying, listen, I saw Jesus actually raised from the dead, and that confirms that something is new about you. If Jesus could be raised from the dead, he can change you. And this new birth is God participating in your life right now. So yeah, I know things are difficult, but what I'm telling you is God's at work in you even now, even when it doesn't seem like it. And so the things that are beginning now, eternal life, salvation, he's going to get to in a minute, are at work now because God is at work now. Middle of verse 4, he says, "This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time." So part of Peter's message is God is at work in you now with this new life, this new birth, and God will continue to be at work. So he's pointing to the nature of God. Say, listen, if we want to be a people of hope and get through really difficult things, then part of what you need to know is God is at work in you now, and God is going to be at work in you in the future. God has a plan. There is an inheritance for you. God is bringing salvation to you, and you can be confident that God is not done. So it goes back to some thinking that was at work sometimes in the ancient world, sometimes in our world, that maybe God is out there and created the world, but he just sort of left it, and he's watching things sort of unwind, and he's not participating. Or more common in the ancient world, God, or the gods, as the Gentiles would have said, well, they made the world, but it's all for their entertainment, all for their pleasure, and they intervene only when it benefits them. And Peter's saying that's not the way this God works in the past, now, or in the future. Verse 6, "In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trial. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed." Paul has said, listen, God is shielding you, and in this difficult time, even as God shields you, you're growing in your faith, and you're going to continue to grow in your faith. And sometimes we don't even know what God is shielding us from, right? Because it didn't happen. But Peter's saying, even when the bad stuff happens, and what I like about this is Peter doesn't shy away. He doesn't say, well, let's just pretend like everything's fine. He says, yeah, there's some bad things happening. You have experienced difficult things. Let's deal with that head on. Let's admit that's the way it is. But also know God's at work. God will be at work. And God has a plan for all of this. Now, part of what we're getting at is, if we look at who Jesus is, what we know is that from, look at Paul, you look at John, they tell us Jesus was present even in the moment of creation, knowing what we would do, knowing how we would react, knowing that the price that was going to be paid for our own sin was the death of Jesus on a cross. And they made us anyway. We exist because of God's great love for us. Though you have not seen him, Jesus, Peter had, but they had not. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So Peter's saying a couple of important things there. First of all, this is all headed toward something. And even in the midst of difficult times, you can experience joy because you know God is at work. And alongside that is the message that, you know, whatever is happening right now is temporary. You know, I can look back in my life. My guess is you can too. I can remember moments that, man, the grief or the sorrow or the pain was so overwhelming. It was like, this will never end. I am always going to feel this way because of the power of what's happening in my life right now. But it didn't last forever. It did begin to fade. Now, not all pain is that way. Some of it stays with us. But some of it does fade. It is temporary. But in a larger sense, Peter's telling us that in the end, God puts things right. God makes it all right, even though we may have to experience really difficult things now. So how does all this deal with our emotions and thriving emotionally? I think the message is this. God's plan gives us hope. Peter began with that word, that we have a living hope in Jesus. And so when we deal with those difficult emotions, part of what we need to do is turn to our hope. Our hope is an expectation of something that's going to happen. Hope is almost always that. We're hoping something is going to happen. And so we expect that everything that Jesus promised is going to be fulfilled. Now, I think there's some truths that we can grab onto in the midst of this. First of all, God has had a plan from the beginning. From the very beginning, Jesus wasn't plan B. Jesus wasn't, oh, now we got to deal with this sin thing. We'll come up with something. How about Jesus? They knew, God knew, Jesus knew from the start that this would be the plan, that Jesus would die on a cross and that would bring us salvation and eternal life, which Peter is pointing to beginning even now. So God has always had a plan. It's not anything new. Second, God's at work today. These stories sometimes, they're ancient, right? I mean, they're 2,000 years old plus. And it sometimes feels like, well, God was doing that stuff then, but is God doing that stuff now? And the answer is, these stories point to the past, present, and future activity of this God who loves us. And so we can put our hope in him, and we can thrive emotionally because we are people of hope, because God is at work even now. And then finally, God will fulfill his plan. It's all headed toward an end point. Whatever we're going through, whether it's joy or sorrow, is ultimately temporary. Because God is going to bring all things together. I mean, so we are a people of hope because God had a plan from the start. We're a people of hope because God is at work right now, and we're a people of hope because we're looking to the future. And the things that are happening now help us point to the future. Now, Peter never says here, if you believe in the power of Jesus and the hope that Jesus Christ provides for us, you know what? You're not going to be sad anymore. He doesn't say, hey, listen, that's going to make all the grief or pain or anxiety or fear magically go away. He never says that. But he does say a healthy understanding of the nature of God and the person of Jesus gives us some tools to walk through really difficult times because ultimately, as Christians, we are always going to be a people of hope. Let's pray together. God, we face trouble. We face fear and anxiety and pain and emotional distress. And God, sometimes we just need your help in that. And we need to know that you love us and care for us. We need to know that we can have hope because of who you are. So God, help us to have just that. Help us to be strengthened through the difficult things, and help us face whatever comes together with you as your church. And God, we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.